Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carey Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapy Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carey Hines.
Just can't deny this fire spread from my soul.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I'm actually on location in downtown Brooklyn. We're talking about New York City, and I'm so excited. Typically, you guys know I'm in the studio, and we are just kind of broadcasting from an enclosed edifice, if you will. Well, today, I'm so excited because as a bonus, we are able to reunite with the one and only Mr. Lonel Williams, who has decided to make an appearance. Lonel, I have to say this. So being out here in New York, what on earth comes to mind now? Because you really are, you're back in the city. So what is this like?
I am loving being back here. The first thing that comes to mind is allergy medication, because I even sound a little nasally. I love being outdoors, but my allergies are just like going nuts. But there's no place like New York. Just the energy, the sun is shining, the vibrance, the diversity. I love all things New York City, even the bad stuff about it. I just love
which we don't. We never hear anything about that.
Never, never. I haven't seen a rat in the subway yet.
Exactly.
I guess I have to go back on the subway, but yeah, we'll see. No, but I absolutely love being in the city. I just love it.
Well, I gotta say, because we are here in what's the name of this park again?
This is Fort Greene Park in Brooklyn. I can't believe you don't know where this is, but okay.
No.
Yeah, Fort Greene Park, Brooklyn.
Green.
We're in the United States, Carrie.
Okay. Oh, I heard that. Well, you know what? It's true. It's true. Because I guess I'm always inside the studio. Rarely do we get an opportunity to go outside, which is why I really jumped at the chance today to come out and be able to tape and certainly to catch up with Mr. Lonel Williams, who goes so far back, go way, way, way back, and to see what's new and be out amongst the people, literally. And I'm going to put a lot of these pictures onto our fan page at hairradio.com. So you'll be able to go there. I'll post some wonderful little things here with Lonel and all this kind of stuff. So Lonel, so here in New York, give the folks a sense of, like, what you're here with some, you've got some plans. Anything at all you can share with the fans of the, we're going to put them on the spot, folks. Anything you can share with the fans of Hair Radio.
You know, I don't...
you don't kiss and tell.
I don't have any exclusives that I can offer you at this time, but I can just say follow 3OWTV, 3OWTV.com, and any updates or first releases, you know, I'll let you know. But this time, this particular visit for me is really just about enjoyment and catching up with friends. I don't really have... well, I've got a couple of things, actually, a couple of work things, but they're kind of tied into joy. You know, I try to walk that line. If I don't enjoy doing it, then why bother?
Exactly.
So if I can't have some fun out of make some fun out of it, I don't want to be bothered. So I have some stuff I have planned, but you just have to stay tuned.
Okay, it gets no better than that. I want to thank you, Lonel. Thank you for taking a moment or two. Send us off with some of your positive words of encouragement. Until we meet again on the Hair Radio Morning Show, what do you have to say to everybody?
Live each moment to the fullest. No matter what you're, don't be defined by the appearance of your circumstances. It's just the appearance of it. You've got to see your vision beyond that. See where you want to be. See yourself in that space. And manifest it.
It gets no better than that. The Hair Radio Morning Show, again, thanks Mr. Lonel Williams of 3LW.com.
check them out. And again, we'll be right back. Stay with us, folks. We've got more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who'll be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very special guest joining us right now. He runs actually the Soul Snacks Cookie Company. His name is Ralph Roll. Now, Ralph, you are the man behind the Soul Snacks Cookie Company. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. My cookie company, I started many years ago, actually back in 1996, in my apartment in the Bronx. And the product came from original recipes that dated back almost to the turn of the century of 1900s. From my grandmother, I just watched how she baked and my mother baked, and just learned from there, and then took that to the marketplace later on. That's a very, very, very condensed story, but I learned from my, watching my grandmother, my mother just be in the kitchen, those are the origins of where we started.
Well, that is amazing. It really is. When I saw your name, I said, well, hold it. Is that, I guess you get a little bit of the folks, because your name, did I pronounce it correctly? Is it Roll?
Yeah, it's Roll. The E is silent.
It's Roll, okay. Well, don't people kind of make a connection between Roll and Cookie? Has that been brought to your attention? Probably more than once. So, I just love it. So that's why I said, wow, how neat is that? Okay, so you got to tell us about the Soul Snacks cookies. You have got to tell everybody about it, because when I saw it, just caught my attention right away. So please share a little bit more about your amazing company.
Well, when we started the company in 1996, it was basically my girlfriend and I were trying to figure out a way to save money for the holidays. And in doing that, we had 36 friends and family, and that was the only way that we could, afford to actually give out gifts. So I suggested, why don't we make the cookies? Because I had made cookies for her when we had first started living together. And we gave the cookies out to everyone, and everyone got back in touch and said, wow, these are really good. You should think about selling them. And so we said, you know, I've thought about doing it before. This is a sign. So let's just follow the sign and start selling the product. So the very first place that I sold the product, I was playing drums at an open mic at a place. You know Sylvia's restaurant in New York City.
Yes, of course.
Most people do.
Yeah.
And restaurant at the time was the she was the proprietor for the evening. So I called her up and I said, Mel, I have an idea. I want to sell cookies, and I'd like to do it there at the open mic. And she said, fine, do it. There's no problem. I brought the cookies in, and we gave samples away, and everyone bought the cookies. And there was a guy at the bar from a magazine called YSB Magazine. Used to be owned by BET.
Okay.
And he liked the cookies.
Oh, you know, I remember that magazine. Yes.
Yeah. So he said, "Tell me more about what you guys." He said, "Tell me more about what you guys are doing." And I told him, "Well, I'm the drummer at the Apollo Theater. I'm on the television show Showtime at the Apollo, and my girlfriend is a Juilliard graduate, and we both came out of public housing, and we decided to start the business and." I thought we would only get a couple of responses from it, and I was totally wrong. We got hundreds of people buying the cookies, which made it very difficult for us to bake out of our small apartment oven. So I asked a friend of mine whose mom had a brownstone, and the bottom of the brownstone was vacant, and I asked Ms. Durant, is her name, if I could convert it into a kitchen, and I just knew she was going to say no. But she actually said yes.
Wow.
And that was our first baking facility. It had a convection oven, three-tub sink, ventilation, storage room, preparation room. And then we grew out of that. But in the interim of all of that, my girlfriend decided she didn't want to have anything to do with me or the cookies.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so we went our separate ways, and I ran the company for a while by myself. But that was very difficult because I was – at the time busy as a musician. So I stopped for a couple of years, and then I met my current wife, and we decided after our daughter was born that we were going to start the company back again, and we did it exactly the same way again, one rack at a time in an apartment. And my first client was Melba's restaurant.
Oh, Melba's restaurant, yes, in Harlem,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so she was the one that brought us in, and she was the one that brought us in again as the first client. The second was Dougie Fresh had a restaurant.
Oh,
and then
of course.
Kind of built,
wow.
We just built it from there.
Wow.
That's the beginnings, yeah.
Well, I'm also a cookie fiend. I absolutely love that. That's the other reason it caught my attention so much. Well, first of all, I want to take a moment, you know, just if you would be kind enough, and then I want to jump back to the cookies. But can you tell us a little bit about your music career?
Oh, yeah. I started as a drummer at a very young age. I picked up drums from watching my brother. He had a drum set.
Wow.
And my mother allowed him to have drums in our small bedroom. And I just loved it because, you know, for two reasons. There was a drum set in the middle of the room, and it gave me an excuse to be able to jump on the bed. But
I love it.
But, you know, my brother, he said I could play the drums, and I'm left-handed. And he said, as long as you don't change the drums around, we're fine. So
wow.
I'm a left-handed drummer that plays on a right-hand setup, and I
wow.
play open-handed. And it's kind of worked to my favor moving forward because it allows me to do things with my left hand independently for drummers out there that
wow.
Some cross-hand drummers, you know, they don't really do. So, but that's how it all started. And then my first professional gig, I was 19 years old, with a group called Musique. And they had a hit song called Push, Push in the Bush.
Oh, who doesn't know that song?
That was
course.
The name of the song.
Yeah. I remember it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't even tell my mother the name of the song. That was the name of the song.
Yeah.
And from there, people, you know, started passing my name around, and I was working in a local band, and I just kept practicing and learning and just you know, trying to hone in on my craft and turn into a home.
Well, you're very kind, and I'm going to just spell it out for folks. I mean, you have worked with the likes of Nile Rodgers and Chic, Sting, Bono, the one and only Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, you know, the Notorious B.I.G., Queen Latifah, Erykah Badu, Chris Botti, D'Angelo, India Ari, and so many others. And this, so, and you are part of the band, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, for it's the Showtime at the Apollo for about 15 seasons, that was.
Yeah.
So, and that's TV. That's the big time. So, was this a big transition, you know, getting over to do the cookies, or did that somehow, in some strange way, might have prepared you for entrepreneurial type success?
Well, you know, being in the music business is not an easy journey for most, and you have to have a certain set of, you know, just values in order to want to survive in the business, and there has to be a passion that you just are not willing to give up on to for most. You know, most of the people that I'm involved with, we all share that same synergy as far as how we saw the business and how we survived the business and how we, you know, just kept moving forward. I mean, all of my friends now started exactly the same way that I started, in a band, you know, hustling in a car with your gear that was falling apart, trying to just make it with, you know, not that great of equipment. And then if you believe it, you know, you just keep practicing. You know, I mean, I'm right now, I'm in a car with three of my closest friends.
Oh.
They all have the same story, you know.
Wow.
You know, they put their fingers and lives and just everything into, you know, their craft. You know, there's one gentleman that's sitting behind me. I saw him start in the business. And watched him grow to the point that he's worked on many television shows. The gentleman to my left, he's worked with probably more people in the business than all of us as a, not only a player, but an engineer. And the gentleman sitting in front of me is a Grammy Award winning a writer.
Well, hold on. We got to drop some names.
Okay.
Well, at least tell us their name so we can kind of like follow them or Google them.
Yes, yes. Behind me is Russell Graham. Next to me is Richard Hilton. In front of me is Jerry Barnes. And over on my left is this very cool driver that I don't know his name. But
Well, listen, I have to shout all of you out because that is just incredible. And see, and I love that. It just reminds me of how much iron sharpens iron, as they say, and you travel in these circles of folks, you know, where you're all going somewhere and in your own directions as well, but you're still, you know, a concentrated effort and, you know, focused and all that kind of stuff. I think it's amazing. So I love hearing stuff like that. I really do. I've got to tell you, though, when I look back and I started thinking about the cookies, every time I think of, and I hate to say, because I said, you probably are tired of being compared to, do you know who I'm going to mention?
Wally Anderson.
Maybe you're too young to know this guy, but he was a person who had an interesting story when I was growing up. And that's the only African-American man I can think of, you know, connected with cookies so much. And that is Famous Amos. And so, you know, so I grew up with that understanding. Did you, you know, have you been compared to him, or have people brought him up to you or anything at all on that level?
I am constantly compared to Wally.
And here I go and ask you the same question.
No, but it's good company to be compared to because as far as the industry is concerned, there aren't a lot of prominent companies that have gotten to the level of a Famous Amos. And I'm just very proud to be just mentioned in the same company. Now, what's odd is when I was in public school in the Bronx at PS 77, one of my childhood friends and classmates was a guy named Michael Amos. And Michael Amos used to say that his father owned a cookie company.
Wow.
So the only thing that I heard was cookies, you know, so do you have any? He said, no, my father lives in California. And later on when I heard about Famous Amos Cookies, it was just, I mean, the Amos name is such a unique name. You know, you can only assume that that was his father. So, you know, Michael said, yeah, Wally Amos is my dad. And actually, Michael made it possible for me to meet Wally when I was in, he lives in Hawaii. And it was a very, very emotional moment for me because Wally just stands for so much. And just to meet him, and he came out and we talked, and, you know, he was like Yoda. He gave me so much wisdom about the business and, you know, just how to, what to look for, what to be careful of, and, you know, and it was great. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is, that's just amazing. It really is. Now, speaking of your cookies, I want to get into some of the different, the variety of delicious flavors and what they, you know, what kind of cookies you offer. Can you tell everybody a little bit about, because I'm just loving just the idea of Georgia oatmeal raisin, but please tell everybody about your cookies that you offer,
well,
some of the different
it's
ones.
Funny,
you got
it's
a lot.
Funny that you hit on those two recipes. Well, the main one is Georgia oatmeal raisin, which was one of the earliest recipes that came from my grandmother. That and the chocolate chip is basically how I started. I started making mostly chocolate chip and oatmeal raisin cookies from remembering the recipes from what my grandmother, my mother had made. And then just developing from that, we developed a sweet potato cookie, a lemon cookie, a cranberry oatmeal cookie, a chewy oatmeal raisin cookie. We have a French cocoa chocolate chip cookie now. What else do we have? We have a peanut butter cookie. I named the cookie after my grandmother, her grandpa's chocolate peanut butter cookie. And I named the sweet potato after my Uncle Ralph, which he just passed away in 96, about 2 months ago. So, you know, just being... Having all
very
those my favorite, getting out of the car, my favorite is called the lemon love cookie. I love the lemon cookie that we have. It's a great product. It's one of my favorites, and it goes so well with ice cream. I love the lemon love. Yeah, but we're always developing new flavors. We now have a full line of vegan gluten-free cookies as well.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, I'm loving this. You've got to, you know, tell everybody how they can get their hands on these cookies.
Well, if you go to soulfest.com, you will see the full list of cookies you can order in three different sizes, 12, 24, and 32 cookies. And coming in the next week, there will be a full list of all 789 Walmart stores that we will be in.
That is amazing. We've got to repeat that. So your cookies will be found in about 700 or 800 Walmart stores. Are you serious? That's amazing.
And,
congratulations.
And Kroger as well. Kroger just picked us up as well. And now we're looking at Target. You know.
Wow. Well, we are so proud. We are so proud.
I am so fortunate to have the opportunity to have my product in front of a large audience, you know.
Absolutely.
What an amazing journey that I wouldn't say for anything.
Well, we're going to keep our eyes on you, of course, and keep eating those cookies. And,
I got to make sure that you get some.
You do, because every day I would go down to my mailbox, and I said, I know that they're sending me some cookies. But I got to order, you know, that's my job to order these cookies. So I'm loving what you're doing, and we support.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that so much.
Absolutely. Well, listen, here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, we are going to do some things, and we want to make sure that, we send you to soulsnacks.com. We want you guys to pick up these amazing cookies and join the rest of the world. We look like we're just getting on the bandwagon here. But all continued success to you and to your folks there in the car and everybody that you're traveling with and all of that. So thanks again for being with us on the Hair Radio Show. But, you know,
and thank you for having me. I really appreciate
you
it.
You got it. All right, folks. Ralph Roll, what can we say? The Soul Snacks Cookie Company. Amazing. Just amazing. All right. Stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston. Tony Terry.
It's for real, what I feel.
And of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Keri Hines.
All right, we're back live. It's Friday morning, everybody, March 18th of 2022. Yes, I'm Keri Hines, and it is early. New York time is about 6:34 in the morning. 5:34, of course, for folks out in the Central Time Zone. It's so great to have you with us as we kind of close out the week. We're going to, we've got a lot of things to get to this morning and, as they say, unpack. If you're just joining us, then you might have missed the kickoff interview that we did with a couple of folks. We had Lonell Williams, of course, great friends to Oprah Winfrey and all those folks out there, as well as Ralph Roll, the push in the bush man, we call him, and Cookie Extraordinaire. And have a follow-up, a second part of an interview that we did, we rolled out yesterday, that many of you guys are familiar. You know, we have a lot of folks who are in the entertainment side. This gentleman, his name is Nicholas Stiles, and he kind of gave us a story in terms of being the assistant, the last assistant to a superstar, Supreme singer, Miss Mary Wilson. And we lost Mary about a year ago, and this is this gentleman had made one trip back to Las Vegas, where all this happened, but he gives us quite an unbelievable story, literally about finding her after she had passed away. And boy, oh boy, you don't want to miss a moment of this story. So we're going to continue with that. Well, then we'll be back on the other side of that with Wayne Smith live on the air with us. He usually hangs out and co-hosts for the hour. Wayne Smith is the former Jersey mayor, we like to say. He was mayor for 12 years in a little town called
Irvington, New Jersey. I used to live there, so I want to tell you all about it. Wayne is going to catch us up today on what he's working on. He's now a huge business expert out there, of course, in private industry. And he's going to tell us all about that. Plus, I've got a little thing to tell you about Wayne and his connection with Hair Radio, but you'll have to stay tuned to find out. So Wayne will be on with us at 8 o'clock New York time, 7 o'clock Central. Do not change that. We got a lot more to get to this morning and some of your favorite songs. So definitely stay with us. Now, coming up, again, we've got the second part to this this really incredible story today. And again, the gentleman's name is Nicholas Stiles. And we just love Nicholas here. We'll tell you a little bit more about all that. But take a listen, and we'll be back. Stay with us. So tell us, so did you have a chance? You said, you know, she mentioned about her children, but did you have a chance to meet or talk to any of her children?
Well, I
at that point, probably not, I would imagine.
She had three children. Well, she had four, actually. She had an adopted son named Willie. She adopted him in the 60s. He actually was her little cousin who she took custody over.
Oh, okay.
And it was basically
like she had four children.
Yeah. And then, and she raised him as, like, to this day, he calls her mom. Because I want to say he was about 5 or 6 when she adopted him. So he was pretty young.
Right. Wow.
And then, I want to say in 75, and I only know this because, like I said, I have read the fan club and all that, so you kind of put dates together for different things. So I want to say in, like, 1975, she had her first child, which was her daughter, her only daughter, Kirkesu. And then in 76 or 77, she had her second child, Pedro Jr. And then I can't remember exactly what year. I want to say either 78 or 79. She had her last child, Raphael, who passed away in 1994. Or around then. I don't want to say a certain date.
Right, but just unfortunately. Yeah, wow, what a sad story. Wow. So now I have to say... Yes, go right ahead, Nicholas.
Now, I want to say you asked if I spoke to any of her children.
Right.
Her son, Pedro, I never spoke to. Willie, I have spoken to him on Facebook. He interacted with all the fans on Facebook. So I've spoken to him on Facebook, but only child I spoke to on the phone is Turkessa. And that was only because Turkessa runs Mary's business. So Turkessa is technically like HR or corporate, if you want to call it like that. So anyone who's hired or fired goes through paid and payroll and all that. Bookings kind of go through Turkessa.
So she was essentially running Mary Wilson's business, if you will.
Yes.
Part.
And
okay.
I just talked to her about being paid.
Got it.
I was supposed to talk to her in November. Never got a call. December, never got a call or email. January, never got a call or email. And then the day Mary died, which I didn't even know, sitting there talking to her, that she was in the house dead.
Well, let's talk. Do you mind if I ask you about this? So the idea was that Had Mary instructed her daughter, now all of this is alleged, we of course want to get that on out there, but had Mary told her, do you think, to go ahead and execute the payment for you?
From what Mary told me, she had.
Mary told you she had, but...
From what Mary...
Yeah.
I want to say this. Turkessa knew about me because when we first talked on the phone, which was February 8th, she said, I'm sorry it's taken me so long to get in contact with you. I'm a a mother and I have children, so, you know, I've been busy with this. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, Mary's told me about them. Her children are, I think her youngest is my age, if I'm not mistaken. Or her oldest is my age, one of them. But
okay.
Yeah, so that's what she told me. So,
well, did you ever get that payment at that time, though?
No.
The payment never made its way to you?
The check never reached my bank account.
Wow.
But,
wow. Interesting.
I only, what I discussed with Mary was being that I only did physical work when I got there in January. What I discussed with her was being paid starting when I got to Vegas in January. So I only was going to have going to be paid maybe $1,500, you know, for that month, or a little bit less than that. So it really wasn't like I was missing anything, if that makes sense.
Right, that's true, because you really hadn't gotten quite through the month so much.
Right.
Wow.
It wasn't like anything like, oh, my God, I need my money. You know, you're supposed to
Right.
It was never, like I said in the beginning, I never did this for money. I only did this job for free.
And I would have done it for free, exactly. I mean, my goodness. Wow.
I do have to wait, but, you know, I would have did it for
free.
I'd have figured out something, you know, to make some money.
Absolutely. Well, I have to ask you, you know, as the story unfolds and you had some conversations with her daughter, who was kind of running things. Now, it's a few weeks in. What was the circumstance that you went out to Mary's house that day? Were you guys scheduled to have a meeting on February 8th? It was a Monday morning. Can you tell us what was it?
I'm sorry.
No, please, go right ahead.
It was a Monday morning. I really wouldn't call it a meeting. I just called like a regular work day because it wasn't my scheduled day. Go to her house every other day. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and weekends if I couldn't do one of those days during the week. So... or weekends if she needed me for something, like if she was doing a Zoom and she needed my help, or she was doing some type of house project or something that she needed me to do. But the set days were Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And
awesome. Okay.
Monday
was February, yes.
Go to work. The last day we would get
Monday, February 8th of 2019.
21.
Oh, why did I say 2018? I'm sorry. 2021. Yes, of course. Yes. So now that Monday,
Tuesday,
yeah.
That previous Friday, because so I left February 15th to go to Vegas. I was actually kind of like staying in two places. I had my apartment, but I also was staying with my aunt, because the job I was working at was closer to her house, which was like maybe like 2 hours from mine. I was staying with her, and also just to get out the house, I mean, I was in my apartment all the time. So, yeah, I went down to stay with her. She was near Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
She passed away the week after I got to Vegas.
Oh, my. Wow.
My cousin's 21st birthday party, they were in the middle of the party. She was dancing and fell out in the middle of the floor and had a heart attack.
Wow. How awful.
So I flew back to Ohio for the funeral. And then I had got back Friday before the, what was it, like 6? 36 of February. And then
probably the 5th. So yeah. Well, Monday was the 8th, right? So that would have probably been like the 5th then, right?
Yeah.
Friday, 5th, 6th, 7th. Yeah, so like the 5th on that Friday.
Yeah, so that 5th I had to go back in. Now, Mary did drop me off at the airport that time. And then when I got back, I took an Uber and got to my cousin's house. But she dropped me off at the airport to go to, go back home.
Okay.
And her words were, don't worry about me. We're not really busy right now doing anything. So, I know how close you guys were. So I want you to go back home for the funeral. So, and that's what I mean. And I wanted to say that because that's what I mean by how caring she was.
Now, did Mary drive a car, by the way?
Yeah, she had a Mercedes.
Okay.
It was a silver Mercedes.
Wow. So now she drives, so you go back home for the funeral, and then you come back out to Vegas again?
Yeah. I wasn't planning on staying in Ohio. I was going for the funeral. And then coming
back. Right. Okay.
My idea was, I was coming, going home for a moment and coming back to go to work. So Friday, she called me, had to make it in, and I said, yeah, I made it in. And she said, were you coming over? And I said, well, I completely forgot about that. I've been to bed. I was kind of asleep. And I said, okay, well, so I'm really not feeling well anyway, so you can just come tomorrow. And it's like, no, come today. It's like, no, come tomorrow. I was getting ready to say, make up your mind, woman. But she was like, no, just come tomorrow. That way I can have everything ready for you. Because I really don't have anything ready for you at the moment. I said, okay. So we hung up. And the Saturday 6th, I get up like usual. And so I was, getting ready to go to her house at 11 o'clock. Then, regular day. I get to her house, and she's like, sorry, I haven't had any babies yet, so don't mind me. I said, no, you're fine. And she said, I do want you to run a few errands for me. She said, but first I want you to look at this thermostat because I think it's broken. I'm so cold. Like, she kept, just kept saying, I'm cold, I'm cold. And
that's what she said to you?
No.
So now, I'm sorry. So she said she was cold. Did that raise any kind of flags or anything?
No. And it didn't raise any flags for two reasons. One, the thermostat was broken. And two, I did not know of her prior health history. Being that I never talked to anyone and Mary never told me about it, I didn't know she had heart problems or anything like that. So,
wow.
But I looked at them and said, I'm like, I pressed it, I pressed lock, everything. I'm like, it's not dropping down. So I'm like, well, she's like, you have a wide head access to the only space heaters. And she said, no. I think I have one in the garage, actually. And I said, okay, I'll go and look. And I moved everything in the garage, moved everything around. And I don't remember seeing a space heater, but I went out there and looked anyway because maybe it was something that I did not pay attention to because it probably was something I didn't touch. So I looked and I said, I don't see one. And she said, okay. So she said, well, I do want you to run these errands for me. It was like go to the grocery store, go to the post office, and then go to somewhere else. Oh, go get the car washed. So she's like, you do have your license, right? And I said, yeah, I have my license. And she said, okay. She gave me the keys. And she said, well, go to the office first. Go to the P.O. box first. Pick up my mail. Go to the grocery store for me. She wrote out, she texted me the list that she wanted of stuff. And then go to get the car washed. That's exactly what I did. By the time I got back, the sun started going down. And I told her, I called her, I said, the P.O. box had a sign on the door saying that they were closed on Saturdays, and she said, oh, yeah, I forgot they changed their times. And I actually said, okay, well, when you come over Monday, we can go to the P.O. box and get the mail. I said, okay. So I told her, I said, you texted me and asked me for orange cello. What is orange cello? And I said, I looked it up, and it came up with some wine, and the other person, did they have it? He said, no. She said, what are you talking about? And I said, orange cello. That's what you texted me and said. And she said, no, I meant to say orange jello. Sorry. She said it was the autocorrect from the phone. And I said, oh, okay. So I got the orange jello, and we started laughing about that. And then she asked, she said, it's random, but do they have Casablanca's? And I'm thinking about the movie. And I said, I can look in the movie section to see if they have it. And she started laughing again, and she said, no, flowers. She said, they're Casablanca lilies. And I said, no, I don't know. I don't know what those look like, but I'll ask. So I told her, I said, hold on a minute. So I asked the florist at the grocery store. And the grocery store in Vegas that I went to was Cartesons. So I asked the florist at the grocery store, do you have Casablanca lilies? And she kind of looked at me. She was like, those are special request flowers. And I said, so she's like, you have to go to an actual florist to get those. And I said, okay. And I told her what she said. And she said, okay. Well, she said, well, I told her, I said, the lady is writing up a few florists for me to call, so I'll call Monday. She said, okay, that's fine, that works. So she said, well, thank you so much. And I said, no, you're welcome. You know, of course. And then we hung up, with the car wash, vacuumed the car out, got back to the house and told her. When I got back to the house, she was in the bed. You know, I just really don't feel good. It's like it's getting colder and colder in here. And like I said, the thermostat is broken. So I said, no, it didn't raise any red flags to me.
Now, this was, which day again was this?
Huh?
Which day? Was this Saturday?
Yes, this was still Saturday. This was all still Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yes, and she was kept saying it's getting colder and colder.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Like I said, I just kept thinking the thermostat. Well, she did say this, because when I got to Vegas, I had on shorts and she had on a winter coat. It was cold.
Wow.
But to me, it was warm, because how it was like 50, 60 degrees. But to Vegas, that's cold.
Right. And I lived out in L.A., so right. Oh, my. Okay,
that,
so
you know, that,
it might have just been that she was a little chilly. Might not have had any, no indication that the end was near.
Yeah, I didn't think that wasn't anything near my first thought. And then because Turquesa had the information for the person to come fix the thermostat, so I talked to her about that. I told her, and she didn't seem to have any type of, like, you know, concern of, like, you know, what do you mean? What do you mean, you know? So it wasn't like anything was off, if that makes sense. So I, you know, get in the house, and it's about 5 o'clock, and my time to be with her was 11 to 4. And she's like, I know we talked about 11 to 4, but do you mind staying and helping me with a few more things? I said, yeah, of course. And she was like, there's a spot on the floor by the chair that I sit in. I spilled some blueberry juice, the juice to the blueberries that she had on the floor. And I said, okay, I'll scrub that up, and I don't mind doing that. She's like, are you sure? She's like, I don't want you to... No, she said, she's like, just wait a moment, because I want you to set up my TV for me. She wanted me to set up Hulu and Netflix on her TV. But she told me about the spot, and she's like, I'll get up and clean it up when I... And I said, no, I'll do it. So just tell me where everything is at. She's like, are you sure? Because, like, I don't want you to have to do it. And I said, I definitely don't mind. And she's like, well, can you bring me my medicine? what medicine that is, I really don't know, but it was like a prescription bottle. So I don't know what that was. But I brought her medicine and a cup of water. And it didn't seem like anything out of the ordinary. It just seemed like how I would do with my grandma, my great-grandma. So she eventually does come into the living room, sits in the chair, and she's like, I have this steak in the refrigerator. Can you cook that for me? You know, since you say you can cook. And I put the steak on, and we're sitting there talking, and she was like, you know, I'm sorry that I'm keeping you so late, because by this time, about 9 o'clock, 8, 9 o'clock. And I'm like, no. I'm like, honestly, I don't know if I told you this before, but being with you, being around you, reminds me of being around my grandparents, my great-grandma and my grandma, who all passed away prior to me coming out to Vegas. And it kind of is like I get that time back with them, with you. So I appreciate that. And I said, no, I said, definitely don't mind doing anything you need me to do. And I said, if you'd ever need me to stay later past the time that we have scheduled, I'm not going to ever ask you for extra money to do that. I'm doing it because I want to. Which I appreciate that. So then she went on again about being cold. And she said, come here and feel me. And so I touched her arm, and her arm was cold. So, sorry. So her arm was cold. So I was like, are you sure you don't want me to go get you a space heater? And she said, no. And then she was like, feel my nose. It's cold, too. So I felt her nose, and it was cold. So I'm like, are you sure? Because I definitely don't mind running to Walmart or Target to go get you one. Really faster. I mean, like, I looked them up while we were sitting, while I was sitting here. It's only $20. So I definitely don't mind going to go get you one. So she was like, yeah, if you really don't mind, please. So I went and went to Target. Target was cool. By the time I got to Target, it was like 10 o'clock and they were closed. So I went to Walmart. Walmart had space heaters. I think it was like $9. So I ended up getting two. And I set up one right by her chair, and I set up one on her her like island in her kitchen. And by the time I got back, it was about 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock, 11:30. And she said, I want to say something to you. Before you go. Well, actually, the first thing she said was, well, do you want to stay tonight? She said, being out so late, and I wouldn't want you out so late. I said, no, it's fine. I mean, if I can get an Uber, I definitely don't, you know, it doesn't matter. And so, are you sure? And I said, yeah, it doesn't matter. And she said, well, you know that extra bedroom is yours whenever you need it. I said, no, I know. Because she had already discussed that with me. So she had asked again, you sure you don't want to stay the night? And I said that time, no, because I don't have any clothes or a toothbrush with me. So I told her what she said was, well, Monday when you come over, bring a bag with you of clothes and a toothbrush to keep here so that if you ever do need to stay tonight, you have clothes in the extra room. And I said, okay, I can do that. Yeah, I definitely don't mind doing that. I said, that'd be a little bit more convenient than having to drive home and drive back. Because what I could have did was I could have took her car and drove when I was already out to go get clothes at my cousin's house, because the Walmart I went to was right by his apartment. But it wasn't brought up then, and I didn't think about it. So she was like, well, I did tell her, I said, my Uber did connect, so he should be here in about 5 minutes. And so she said, I want to tell you something. I know I told you to give me about a few months to see if we work out as you being my assistant, but she said, after today, I definitely think that we're going to work out, so you are definitely my assistant, and you will, something like she said, I appreciate, you know, everything that you've done. And that was the last thing she said. Well, besides, I said, do you want me to lock the store? Because the door from the outside because I need a key to access the outside because it's only a bolt lock, the top lock. And she said, no, when I get up to go to the bathroom, I'll get up and lock the door. So we take a night, and that was it. Sunday.
That was Saturday night.
That was Saturday night.
So what happened on Sunday? There was no, yeah.
I didn't have any communication with her. I didn't, because it was, like I said.
It was your day off, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Monday morning. Here we are Monday morning. And I know that you have mentioned about going to the P.O. box and all of that and lending a hand, and it's your work day. So what time did you head over there?
Around 10 o'clock. I texted her.
10 o'clock.
And I said, hey, good morning. I said, hey, good morning.
Uh-huh. Now, I do want to ask you about the house. Was this a big house? Was it a row type house? So what did
it
what,
was
can you describe it?
It was a gated community. But it wasn't a big house. It was like an average four bedroom. No, sorry, three bedrooms, one floor. Three bedrooms, two bathroom, one floor house.
Okay, so it sounds nice. Okay.
It was not, like I said earlier, Mary Wilson, the celebrity, Mary Wilson, the Supreme, and Auntie Mary were two different people. So
okay.
Mary Wilson, the Supreme, I would thought she had a big, grand, elaborate house. But being that when you really think about it, she is a woman, an older woman, living alone, it was enough, I felt enough for her.
Understandable. So now I wanted to ask you also, how was her home decorated? Was there a lot of memorabilia about the Supremes all over all the walls? I think you mentioned it earlier where there was pictures of Diana Ross. But were there other things that you noticed? What about her clothing and stuff? Did she have a lot of the old outfits from her days as a Supreme?
Well, the old outfits are in her storage unit. I want to say the storage unit is in L.A., so that's not those costumes are not in her weren't in her home, but she did have her clothes and she had a bunch of shoes and wigs, and we sat and went through those clothes together. Her way.
Yes. Right, personal effects, I was saying.
Yeah.
Listen, I think this is just interesting. I have to say, you have to tell us that Monday when you went into work about 10, I think you said,
I didn't go in at 10. I didn't go in at 10. I woke up around 10.
Oh, you woke up?
The first thing I did is text her and said, hey, good morning.
Uh-huh.
Did you want me to go to the P.O. box before I got to your house, or you told me to go take the car and go, because the P.O. box was on the way from where I was living to her house. I had to pass by it literally to go to it. So it only made sense for me to pick up the mail and then go to her house. So my cousin, he was home. My cousin's a traveling chef. And so he was actually home that day. And he was like, well, cuz I'm a barbecue. You know, since I haven't been home, I'm a barbecue. I'm like, okay. So we're cooking. I'm making macaroni and cheese, greens. I think I made black baked beans. And I'm making all the side dishes. He was making all of the meats, things like that, on the grill. And I looked at the time, and it was 11 o'clock. I said, oh, shoot, I'm late. And I said, I didn't have the Uber requested. I wasn't dressed, nothing. So he was like, oh, yeah, you better get over there. So I called, no answer. So I'm like, maybe she just didn't answer the phone. She never texted me back about the P.O. box. But again, I didn't think anything of it.
No, about what time was that you had texted her again about the P.O. box?
Well, that was at 10 o'clock when I had first woke up.
That was
that
it?
Was the first time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, when I first woke up, I didn't...
No answer, no response.
Mm-mm. And like I said, I didn't...
And that was unusual, though, no?
Mm-hmm.
But wasn't that unusual?
Mm. No. Because there was a few times where I sat with Mary and her phone rang, and she was like, well, I'll call them back later.
Got it.
So, and like I said, it was 10 o'clock in the morning. I thought she was maybe still asleep.
Okay, wow.
I mean, the only reason why I was up because I had to go to her house. I'm a night person. Mm-hmm. You're not a night person. I'm
so
a late
you...
sleeper.
Yeah, okay, wow. Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow. So now, at what point do you head over to Mary's house on that awful day?
So, it was after 11, and like I said, I was late. So, I get there around like 11:20, maybe, and knock on the door. Well, I'm on the phone with Turquesta, actually, because we were talking about the gate code never... In the 3 weeks I had been there, the gate code that I had received never worked for me. The way I'd get into the gate is if someone else was driving up and they had like a button.
You could go behind them.
I could go behind them. Or Mary would pick me up or whatever. That's usually how I would get in. So, like I said, the gate code never worked. And she's like, you sure? So she gave me another one. That one didn't work. So she's like, well, just drive up with how you usually get in, and then we'll go from there next week or later this week. And I said, okay. So I get to the house, knock on the door. This time we're off the phone. So I knock on the door, no answer. Knock on the door, no answer. So I call, no answer. So I call Turquesta. And I said, hey, do you mind calling your mom because she's not answering the phone for me? Knocked on the door. She's not answering. She's like, with the car in the driveway? And I said, well, I moved all the boxes in the garage so that she can move the car into the garage. And she said, oh, yeah, I forgot that you... She said she was having you do that. She said, okay, well, I'll call her. So I hear the phone ring, no answer. The house phone is ringing, I should say. No answer. So, she said, well, maybe she said, did she have an interview or something like that or something this morning? And I said, I don't think so, because from what we discussed, she didn't have anything. She said, maybe something just surprisingly came up. She's like, is she doing that? Because she would do this like little like live podcast. She's like, is she doing that live podcast? And I said, I don't think so, because it wasn't in what we discussed. So she said, I said, okay. I said, well, what do you mean to do? You mean to wait until she wakes up, or if she's asleep, or until she gets back home? And she said, no, you don't have to wait. You just go back home. So while I'm waiting for my Uber, we're talking on the phone and talking about, she's getting to know me. I'm getting to know a little bit about her, and we're discussing my pay and my expectations of them. And all this. And like I said, this is the first time me and her has had a conversation about payment or anything like that. So we're discussing this. My Uber comes, and I told her, I said, well, my Uber's here, and we kind of ended the conversation anyway by the time my Uber came. We kind of were just talking at that point. So I get back to my cousin's house. By the time I got back, the food was done. So we're sitting there eating. And about 2 hours later, she calls me and says, hey, me and my husband have been calling her. She's not answering the phone still. And now we're getting concerned. Do you mind going back over there? I said, no, I don't mind. Just give me a moment. I got to take another Uber. She said, okay. So my cousin goes, you think something's wrong? And I said, no. He's... when I got back, actually, he said, you think something's wrong? I said, no. I said, I just got home. He said, oh, okay. And then when I told him I'm going back over there, he asked again. He's like, you think something's wrong? And I'm like, no. But obviously, I don't want to think about it. So I'm not even thinking about it. I drive, well, not drive, but I get an Uber, go back over there. I was tired at this point, so I end up falling asleep in the Uber. I could see when I woke up, he was looking at me out of the rearview mirror, like.
Wow.
So by the time I got back over there, it was about 5 o'clock. And the sun had started
going down. In the afternoon.
And, yeah. The sun had started going down and everything like that. And I called her guest and I was like, hey, I'm here. I knocked on the door. There's no answer. She was like, well, you said the car isn't in the driveway. She said, no. No, it's in the garage. She was like, well, is there any way to, like, get in the garage or see through the garage? And I said, no. She said, okay. She said, what about the windows? Can you see anything from the front door? And I said, no. There's this wall that blocks kind of like the living room. There's a front window by the front door, but there was a wall that blocked, like, the view into the living room, if that makes sense.
Got it. Yes.
So she's like, well, go around to the back and look through the windows. My only thought was, you know, I'm in this neighborhood. I don't know anybody in this neighborhood. Nobody knows me. You know, all you see is this man walking in the back looking through the windows. That's not suspicious at all. So I'm like, are you sure? And she's like, yeah, could you please? So I looked through the windows. Her bathroom light was on, so you could see through that window. I want to say this first. All of her windows, at least in the back of the house, were tinted. So you couldn't see through them. Unless you got up close or there was light on.
Okay, got it.
So her bedroom, I could see through completely because there was lights on. Her bathroom light was on. And she's like, well, what about the patio doors? Can you look through them and see anything? And I said, no, it's dark in the living room. So I was like, there is a window by her chair. I'll look through that. So I got close and I looked through that window. And I'm like, I kind of see like a shadow of like, I don't know if it's a feet or it's like a figure. And that's all I see. Like, but it's pointing downward. And then she said, what do you mean? And I'm like, okay, so if this is what it is, I said, so you know how you lay down and you're laying on your back and your feet point up?
Yeah.
This is like she's laying on her stomach and her feet are pointing down. And she's like, okay, well, is there any other way you can get into the house? I said, no. She said, well, let me call the realtor and I'll call you back. So she calls me back. She tells me to call, you know, to call the police. So the police come, the fire department comes, and the ambulance come. I explained to them on the phone what I saw. I probably was stuttering the whole time because at this point, I'm nervous.
Of course.
I've never had to do this before. I want to say this. I've never had to do anything like this before. So it was to me. So then that's when the police, they all come. And I can't remember who followed me to the back, but it was about a good 3 or 4 men followed me. And I explained to them what I saw, and they looked at me like I was crazy. When I said I looked through the window, couldn't really see anything, but I saw feet. So I'm like, they're like, okay. So I told them, I said, if you get real close and look, you could see the shadow or the outline of her feet or someone's feet. So I guess he did see because as soon as he looked at his other, as soon as he got, you know, started looking through the window, he looked at his the other person who was there, and that's when the other person tried to flashlight through the window, and that's when I saw her face.
And her face was facing down on the other side of like an ottoman or what happened?
So what she had is her chair, and she had an ottoman connected to her chair. Well, not connected, but it was like in front of her chair.
Right,
and
right.
Where her face was wasn't. It's like how you lay on a pillow. You lay on your on like on your ear, the side of your face.
Right.
That's how she was laying, but on the cushion of the chair.
I see, but over the ottoman.
Yes.
Got it. Like somebody has slid down, so to speak, into
slid down onto or the ottoman, down or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. How sad. How sad. Did you remember the expression or anything? Could you remember this?
Honestly, it looked like she was asleep.
Wow.
So it wasn't
just
like,
a peaceful sleep.
Kind of like distress or anything in her face or anything like that. It was like she was asleep.
Wow. Wow. So at this point, they, of course, come in all the emergency folks, and, you know, this is huge news. What's the first thing that really went through your mind after the emergency folks said that it seemed that she had passed? Did they share that with you right away?
They did. I was on the phone with my mom. I was on the phone with her up and down. I would call Turquesta and call my mom, or Turquesta would call me that I'm hanging with my mom and kind of like that. So I went off with my mom, and I walked outside. The police officer, I do remember that. It was a police officer. He was a short, fat police officer. I don't know why I remember that, but it's the only thing I remember of, like, a visual of a person. Uh-huh. And he walked outside, and he said, sorry for your loss. She did pass away. I said, oh. I go in there, I can say with oh.
Well, you were surprised and in shock. So that's, you know, you could have said something, you know, happy birthday. Or I mean, you don't know what's going to come out of your mouth at a time like that.
Right, right.
Wow.
And my mom was like, well, what did you say? And I said, she died. And my mom was like, well, are you okay? And I'm like, I don't know. And she goes, what are you thinking about? I'm like trying to explain how am I going to call her daughter and tell her daughter this?
Yeah, that's a real difficult thing, but it was your job to do. It was your job to do. So you call her back right away, or you wait a little while?
No, I hung up from my mom, and I did call her back because I kind of was like. It's like one of those, like, just rip the Band-Aid off the moment and just kind of just do it. Because it kind of was, I didn't know what to say. So I was trying to figure out what to say. So as the phone is ringing, I'm like, what do I say? And then she says, hello. And I said, she died.
Was it? Silence on the phone?
Yep, it was complete silence, and then all you heard was her voice crack, and she started to cry. And then that's when I started to break down.
Wow.
And then her husband grabbed the phone and said, hey, Nick, we're going to have to call you back. Because they lived in California, so they were already on their way here. Well, not here, but to Vegas. To, you know, make sure everything was okay.
Wow.
So that's when I called my mom back, and I told her. And then it seemed like after that, my phone did not stop ringing.
Really? Why?
The publicist calling. And
Mary's publicist.
Yes, the publicist calling. He was pleasant the first time we spoke. He was. The publicist calling, then the my family calling, other people,
Well,
other people
without saying the publicist's name, but what was it that the publicist was instructing you? Don't mention his name, though.
Oh, no. Okay. No, he was telling me, you know, to pretty much, you know, just don't say anything. I told him, I said, well, I really don't know much to say. And he said, okay. So, like, I just want to make sure you know that, you know, anyone says anything or anything like that, I just want to, you know, just tell them to either call me or call Tricessa. I said, okay. He was like, Tricessa should be on her way. So, like I said, it was pleasant. And then, like I said, after that was kind of a blur. I remember getting nervous because the police officer opened his back door and said, you know, get in. And I'm thinking is, oh my God, I'm under arrest. What did I, you know, what happened? Mm. I said, I've never been in a situation like this before, so I don't know what to think.
Mm.
And so I'm on the phone with my mom, and I'm like, well, they have me sitting in the police car. And he could tell I was hesitant to get in. And he was like, no, 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 you're not in trouble or anything. He's like, I know it. He's like, it's starting to get dark outside and it's cold. And you have shorts on, so I just wanted you to just keep warm. And I said, oh, okay. So,
wow.
I'm sitting in the car, he's in the front seat, and the police officer kind of calls his family, and he's just like, I just want to tell you guys I love you. So it was kind of like one of those moments of like, you know, I don't know who he called, but it was like one of those like maybe it hit home for him or something. And like I said, the only reason why I can remember him is because it's the only person I really had an encounter with as far as like physically talking to.
Right. Wow.
But there was one man who knew who she was. And it was another police officer. And he goes, he's like, man, he was like, the music industry suffered a big loss. He was like, I'm sorry for your loss also. He was like, my mom goes, what do you say? Like, he knew who she was. And she's like, oh, Lord. And I said, well, he went to school. I guess I went to school with, that's what he said. I went to school with her children. But he's the only person I could say that in the time of us being around each other, anyone identified her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, what happened after all of this happened? Did you stay out in Las Vegas for any length of time? How has this affected your life?
Honestly, yeah. I couldn't. The Vegas was depressing.
Yeah. You had grown very fond of her. You had grown very fond of her. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't even just the 3 years. It was like I said, I looked up to her since I was 8.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So this, I built the connection as a kid, and then building a personal connection as an adult.
Exactly. And you can hear that in your telling and recounting this story. I'm just blown away. Now, I have to ask you, have you had any contact with any of these folks since that period?
Actually, yes. I called the publicist, actually, not too long ago. I manage, mm-hmm. At the present time, I manage a rapper.
An artist.
Surgery.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was talking to a producer I met in L.A., and he also works with a female who is a rapper and singer. And we were thinking of a possible collaboration, and he was like, I would love to do something like an R&B song that could be like, you know, turned into a hip-hop song. And I said, mm-hmm. Well, there's only one song I can think of that comes to mind when you say that was turned into a hip-hop song, and that was Can't Take My Eyes Off of You by
Frankie Valli, I think, in the fourth season. Right.
The Supremes redid it with the Temptations, where Mary Wilson sang lead, and if I'm thinking Eddie Kendricks and Mary Wilson did a duet on that. And then
I have to look for that.
Hill turned into a hip-hop song.
Right, like in the 90s, I think they did it.
Yeah. So I had contacted the publicist to see if he knew any information about who I had to contact to get rights to use songs, or did I have to get rights to use songs?
I mean, right, for licensing and all of that. Yeah. So he was open to the idea of working with
you
on that.
He was open to. No, he was pleasant in those conversations, but everything prior, no, actually, it was to the point where I changed my phone number.
Oh, my.
So the phone number that you have for me was not my original phone number.
Wow. That is amazing. Well, I have to tell you, the one thing that I have to turn to this, and is this something that has stayed with you? Because to me, you know, I might find it at times, you know, like you've lost someone who, she was a loved one and on a certain level to you. So do you find from time to time that you're affected, you know, has it affected you like that on that level? Or is this something that you can kind of, you know, compartmentalize, so to speak? So how have you been since all of this?
I will say, when I was in Vegas, I cried almost every time I thought about it. Whether I was crying, going to sleep, or waking up, panic attacks, little different things, because I just kept re-seeing her face in that chair.
That was definitely
the first time I saw a newscast, and it was like a newscast. It was like they post on Facebook like such and such passed away.
Right.
Mary Wilson of the Supremes, founding member of the Supremes, has died. And then my heart dropped. Like I said before, it was like losing two different people. As a kid, I always had this dream of Diana and Mary getting back together to do something. So when she said that.
Well, how much after that? So how long after she died that was reported that she died that you saw that posting on Facebook or on social media?
About a week.
You had stayed off. Okay, got it.
But I ended up leaving Vegas in April for the reason of everywhere I went, there was some type of reminding. We was at TGI Fridays, and there was this big, huge picture of the Supremes sitting right behind me. And I didn't realize it until I turned around and looked up, and then there it was. Like little things like that just kept, and I just couldn't. I had to go back home to get my hair together. I was alone. Although I lived with my cousin next to my cousin was a traveling chef, so he felt bad because the day she died, he had to go to Chicago to a gig. But I was. I didn't know anybody in Vegas. I moved to Vegas for her. So it's kind of like, what am I here for, honestly? I had no motivation to really do anything, honestly. So what I felt was best for me was to come back home and get my head together. Did I want to come back to Ohio? No. But I felt like it was the best thing for me to do mentally. And I will say, being back has been nothing but great. And looking up, honestly, and it honestly has nothing to really do with her or, well, actually, there was one thing that has to do with her, I feel like, but it's just me. Me, mentally, I feel a lot better.
And time is the best healer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And remember how I was telling about, you know, things coming full circle?
Yes.
And how she was telling me, you know, she's preparing me for what I'll be doing in the future.
Yes.
What she was showing me was how to, like, put together press kits, well, an EPK, an electronic press kit.
Sure.
She was showing me how to send emails and, you know, blind CC and the difference between...
She was doing something amazing. I mean, Mary was in her 70s. And to be that technologically savvy, and being able to, when you said texting, I'm like, goodness, I mean, I can barely text at this age. So that is awesome. She was remarkable.
You know, she was showing me how to do all these different things. And
wow.
In October I was hosting October 28th, I want to say, I was hosting a Halloween party, 28th, 29th, something like that. I was hosting a Halloween party, and I asked this guy I knew from here, I asked him if he would want to perform at the party. And yes. And then he also responded after, you know, further down the conversation, would you want to be my manager? I'm like, okay. And as I'm thinking, the first thing he mentions is, I've seen everything that you did with Mary Wilson and meeting her and the Supremes and, you know, everything you do, you know, post about them and all that. He's like, I really like that. He's like, I see that you network with all these different people. He's like, I want someone like you on my team. Very similar to what she told me when she hired me as her assistant. So there's that coincidence right there. Very similar to what she said. And then the year that me and him met was the exact same year me and her met in 2008.
That's amazing.
I had a birthday party at my apartment, and my best friend and her boyfriend, they came over and they stayed the night at my apartment, and I had let's have a party tonight. And she said, okay. So her boyfriend was like, well, can I invite some of my friends? And I said, yeah, sure. You see who all here? And it was just me, him, and her. I said, you see, I ain't got no friends. So invite like whoever you want. And so he started laughing. He was like, okay. So he invited his friend. And his friend, Tyler, who was Sir James, came. And that's where we met. It was kind of weird to me because I've never really seen someone excited about, but they saw I had this big collage of the Supremes albums on my wall. And they were like, wow, this is cool. And we actually discussed that when we sat down and met to discuss me being his manager. I hated that apartment. I just felt something about that apartment just had bad vibes to me, and I just, the energy of it just made me feel down and depressed. And the whole 2 years I lived there, something about that apartment just did not seem right to me.
Wow.
I did not like it, didn't want to be there at all. So I said, yeah, well, I don't mind being your manager. So I was like, well, let's just meet in person and have, you know, to talk, because we had not seen each other since we saw each other at my apartment 3 years prior to, 3-4 years prior to this Halloween party or whatever. So we sit down and we have, we meet at Denny's, and we, I had just got off work, so that was the only restaurant that was open. We meet at Denny's, and we're sitting there talking, and he, you know, said it again. He's like, you know, I see everything that you've done with the Supremes, or you talked about the Supremes and how dedicated you are to them. He was like, someone like you is who I want, someone who could be dedicated to me and, you know, help me better myself and my career. And I told him what I would expect out of him if I'm going to be working with him. And he said, I can do that. And it wasn't anything complicated. It was more so just what I am installing in him is the method that Maxine Powell installed into every single Motown artist of how to present yourself as not only a person, but an artist to the public.
Well, Nicholas, let me jump in and ask you. So what are you looking for down the road? What would you like? Because this is, you know, something that, as I said, is going to stay with you. It would stay with me. What are you looking for this lesson to be that, and what are you looking down the road to accomplish for yourself? What would make Styles happy?
Oh, what would make the lesson, I would say the lesson I got out of this is that, this lesson I got out of it, as well as that I want to push forward to everyone. Never let anyone or anything deter you from your dreams. Because even if it's the smallest thing, if it's something that you are, you have your mindset to do, do it. Because that's one thing she kept trying to install in me, as well as other people in my life, too. All my life, I've always had that. That's kind of what I got out of it. And then for me, for the future, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't see myself really being a manager. Maybe more of a mentor. And I feel like that's what I kind of am for him, for Sir James. I'm more of a mentor than I am a manager. I'm helping him, you know, further his career, getting shows and things like that. But I see myself, like I said, more as a mentor, a guider, so that he can be ready for that. But I see myself, you know, owning my own boutique. And honestly, ultimately, I'm just happy. I really don't really have any goals, I guess you could say. Just happiness and wealth in that sense.
And you've got to remember, folks out there, Nicholas is still a very, very young man. He's still very young. You have your whole life ahead of you and many times to start over and over and over again. So, and, you know, when I listen to your story and the whole thing with Mary Wilson of the Supremes and looking at you and kind of knowing that she wanted to mentor you, to me it seems as though someone was not so much aware of their own mortality, but that they knew they wanted to pass along. I think the older that we get, and God forbid if there's any illness or anything like that, we want to share what we know with the younger generation, with someone who can carry my story or your story forward. I think that's the idea. And so I think to me it sounded as if she was privy to that notion. And I think that's why you were the person. And so your lives will forever be touched. Literally, they crossed, you know, they intersected, if you will. And that is a remarkable story. I am just blown away. And Nicholas Styles, one thing that we did lose just yet is that you will be helping us right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we're so excited. We're going to fill you guys in on all of that in in times and days to come. But I just have to say, this has been a remarkable story, and I'm sure your story will continue and go on. And so thank you. Nicholas, anything you want to leave us with today?
My favorite quote from Mary Wollstonecraft, since this is the subject at hand, my favorite quote from her is, "Dreams do come true. People just have to keep dreaming." And that's all I have to say.
Okay, well, on that note, I want to thank Mr. Nicholas Stiles for being with us on today's broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show, his incredible story in the last days, literally, of a singing icon and Supremes singer, Mary Wilson. So again, thank you so much, Nicholas, and we will continue to follow your story right here at our morning show. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Keri Hines.
I love you, baby. Come trust in me when I
All right, we're back live. It's Friday morning, March 18th of 2022. I'm Carrie Hines. Yes, that was a real throwback song. That was the song that you guys just heard Nicholas Stiles, who was the last assistant to Supreme's hitmaker, Mary Wilson. And that was the song that Nicholas referred to, the Can't Take My Eyes Off You song. You guys know my favorite song by Mary Wilson, of course, was Red Hot that she released. I'll see, maybe we can close out the show with that today. Just want to take a moment to welcome everybody again to our broadcast. It's mid-show. It's about 7:48 New York time, and so that makes it 6:48 Central, folks. Real happy about everything going on. Coming up in about a little over 10 minutes or so, live right here, we have Wayne Smith. Now, Wayne Smith, again, the former mayor for about 12 years in Irvington, New Jersey, which is like a suburb outside of New York City. He'll tell you all about that. We have a lot to talk with Wayne about. It's been a while since we've had him on the show. He is, of course, a political expert, but I really want to find out what should we take to heart about all this that's happening out in the world, politically speaking. You know, you guys know what's happening overseas. We want to get him to weigh in on some of this and also turn to local politics and what we need to do in terms of the hair and beauty community, as well as just being a citizen here in, you know, in our different little areas. What do we need to do to really push forward and, you know, take things to the next level? So he's going to, how important is this for us to get involved? Should we be paying more attention to things? So he'll weigh in on all of that and so much more. So I can't wait for him. He usually hangs out with us until the end of the broadcast. Again, Wayne Smith will be joining us. Now, listen, folks, we're coming up on our 700th Hair Radio Morning Show celebration, 700 broadcasts of this very live show that we do technically Monday through Friday. Of course, you guys know calling us Tuesday through Friday. Monday, we just refer you back over to our wonderful 24/7 streaming network over at HAIRadio.com. Which is available, let me just make sure everybody understands, our 24/7 streaming network, which plays our classic material, it plays special interviews, other music, things that you do not hear on this morning show. So please also be aware we have a lot of other things happening 24 hours a day on our streaming network. And so what we do at about noon today, noon and 3 o'clock Eastern Time, we're going to replay this entire broadcast from the beginning to the end. It replays twice, once at noon and again at 3 o'clock. And then coming up in the weeks, just the weeks ahead, not just our 700th celebration, which we're real excited about, but also the folks over at Vet Talk Radio Show. You guys know Michael Hopkins. He's been with us many times. He and his Michael's Angels panel, Katrina, Noor, and Nicole, they all are celebrating their own milestone. They've done 30 episodes, 30, by April 5th. That'll be their 30th episode. And I am so excited to not just have them on, we'll get them on the Hair Radio Morning Show to all together to promote that. But I just have to say I'm blown away that they already will have 30 episodes. And this seems like it was just yesterday that they were starting on the Hair Radio Morning Show Network. So we're giving Michael a big shout out, and maybe we'll see if we can get him on at some point between today and Tuesday. Now, also, while I've got your attention, let me just remind everybody, if you are not a member, if you are not, of HairRadio.com. You should be, HAIRadio.com. It's not just for playing, you know, our 24-hour amazing Hair Radio streaming network there, but you can also become a member of Hair Radio, in which it's awesome because we have an opportunity to connect with other folks by being a member. It's free, totally free.
just simply go to our website at HAIRadio.com. You'll see it at the top where you sign up. Click on that. And simply the benefits of that is that we put a lot of information that is not accessible to the general public. So when other folks go to our website, well, you have a secret portal, right? Once you log in, you'll be greeted. It knows who you are, and it'll greet you. And there you have pages that are only accessible to members. On those pages, we have a lot of information that we will be unveiling. And that's the only way that you can be informed about those wonderful tips. We also will be giving away free prizes and gifts and all kinds of things. But again, you need to sign up today and be a member. Go to HAIRadio.com. Now, while you're there, Michael Hopkins himself has a Vet Talk Radio tab. He's the only one of our shows that actually have their own tab over there at HAIRadio.com. You'll see it at the top. You can go there. Just move on down. There's a lot of information there about Michael, what's up on their Tuesday broadcast. And then you can leave him a comment. Now, again, the Vet Talk Radio Show airs Tuesday mornings at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, right here across the Hair Radio Live Network, which we're real excited about. And then it replays over on our streaming network. Two different platforms. We have the live three-hour show and the 24-hour streaming network. And I've got some weather and all of that coming up. Let's just go get some commercials in. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about the weather. Just some highs and lows in selected cities. So stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more to get to. Just a bit. Stay with us.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Treat, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Stop dealing with embarrassing hair loss. The Hair Loss and Hair Rejuvenation Clinic, located inside Kay's Design Team, has the latest technology in hair restoration so you can get your confidence and 100% real hair back by working with a licensed trichologist with the U.S. Trichology Institute and AMCA certified, and multi-therapeutical approach is used to diagnose and determine the best program for you. So book your appointment today. Call 316-789-0110 at Kay's Design Team at 718 North Baltimore in Derby, Kansas.
All right, folks, again, it's Friday, March 18th of 2022. Listen, I had a chance to chat with Asia. You guys remember her. She's out in Jersey. We try to keep everybody informed of what's happening in their community, as you guys are going to hear in just a little bit. But yes, I want to get this on. It's only a few minutes. Just introducing Asia, shouting her out this morning. And then, like I said, we've got some wonderful weather updates in just a bit. So we're going to have you guys to stay with us. Right after Asia, we'll get all that stuff on this morning. So real happy. And then, of course, live with us, Wayne Smith, former mayor out in Irvington, New Jersey. So stay with us, folks. Lots more to get to this morning. We'll be right back. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show
I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very special guest joining us today. Actually, I've known her for quite a while, and I think this is the very, very first time joining us on the broadcast. It is my great honor and sincere pleasure to welcome to the show Miss Asia Good. Good morning, Asia.
Good morning.
Yes, it is so nice to have you finally on our broadcast.
Yes.
And it is just wonderful because let me just make it clear to everybody. The Hair Radio Morning Show is about hair, beauty, and community. It really is. And so you fit right into those categories this morning. And being a young person out there in business, I'm so excited to really talk about it because I don't think we've covered the subject of realty so much, but I think it's so incredibly important right now, especially with folks looking and the way the things are going on out here in the world. People are looking for how to get a properties and rent spaces and all that wonderful good stuff. So I can't wait to hear everything you have to say today. So very nice.
Yes, exactly. So it's funny. I got into real estate during the pandemic. I was twiddling my thumbs. I was finishing up college because I did go to school for public health. And I said,
yeah,
I need to do something if this doesn't work out. And, you know, it is my dream to own a house myself. So I was like, let me be an educated consumer and go to school for real estate. So that's how I ended up in in real estate.
Wow.
For myself and also to educate the masses because, you know, when you do have that certain knowledge, it does make a difference and it does impact how you are purchasing or renting out a property.
Now that is – I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. Finish your thought, please.
No, I was just going to say that's why I became, most importantly, an NJ realtor because there's a difference between a real estate agent and a realtor. So I belong to an association.
Wow. That's incredible. And so it sounds to me like you really enjoy it. And that's a surprise,
yes.
Huh?
Yes. It's fun being able to help someone gain information. Not even if they do, like, if they don't want to purchase right now, at least they know what to look for and what is coming up so they wouldn't be ambushed with the sudden spontaneous transaction of buying a house because, you know, there is a process to everything.
And that's a big decision. But it is good that people consider buying versus renting. Is that right?
Yes, because, you know, the way the market is now, there's not much inventory, so sellers are trying to sell either for their best interest or just for monetary gain, and you have to be cautious of what you are spending your money on, and sometimes high rent, believe it or not, is equivalent to someone's house, and if you're paying $3,000-plus in rent in New Jersey, you're probably paying someone's mortgage on a $300,000 house.
Wow.
So
that is
crazy.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, that folks are spending so much. And that brings up a good point. Now, you're located in New Jersey, and we have listeners from everywhere. But what are some of the tips that anybody can think of that they should consider when looking for property of rental and or purchasing? Any ideas that come to mind?
Yes, definitely. So, you know, if taxes is a big deal, you have to be mindful of what area you are moving into New Jersey because every town and city has their own taxes. So if taxes is something that you are worried about, you have to be mindful of that. And then also, you know, due to the sudden shift in climate, you want to be aware of what's a flood zone. I know that the FEMA released that they are changing their flood insurance rates, and it differs from those who are grandfathered from their previous insurance policies. So those are things to consider.
Well, now, this sounds like a lot for the average person to keep track of. Is it as complicated as it sounds, or is it that's what your job is to break it down for us?
Well, honestly, if anyone were to hire a realtor or a real estate agent, it's just to make the transaction smooth for the consumer, for the buyer and the seller, because, you know, we're the person that's going to make all the necessary moves for it not to be a nightmare. I know at the brokerage I'm at, it's our responsibility to do our 100% best always. And if that goes along the lines as sitting in for inspections or getting appraisals done for you, we will do that. That's no problem. I'm trained for that. So those things that might fluster a consumer, look into hiring a real estate agent because they really know what's going on in the market, who to talk to, what direction to lead you in terms of even finding a real estate attorney, appraiser, home inspector, just obtaining your occupancy to live. So, you know, those are things that can be done by a real estate agent.
Wow. I have to say, goodness, you are really on top of it. You are just killing it. You are. I'm so very happy. Well, listen, I just also want to take a moment to say, you know, and I have to, in full disclosure, Asia is just someone I've known. Asia, I just have to let everybody know I've known you since you were just a little tiny little girl down in New Jersey. So it's just remarkable. My dearest friend in the whole wide world was Asia's dad, Theo, and God rest his soul, who would just be ridiculously proud of everything that you have accomplished. And you have an amazing family. And I was going to ask you, because balancing a family, that's not easy with business. How do you do it?
Honestly,
you have an entire
family. I don't
know.
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
You know, just to piggyback off of mentioning my father, I learned being a hustler from him. He made it seem like parenting and working multiple jobs was just normal. So I probably get it from him, but with the help of a planner, and then, you know, the Google Calendar, those are my best friends.
Well, I hear you, and I can certainly echo that. I tell you, I was just thinking about Theo because, you know, I talk often about being a flight attendant or being in the airlines, and I have to let folks know, I would have never, ever, ever, ever made that decision. I didn't even want to be a flight attendant, but your dad talked me into it, and that's how I became a flight attendant. He encouraged me to do so, and that's how I ended up, and which was a big thing, and staying with the airline. So, you know, great memories, and I. It's so nice to see all of that come to full fruition through his offspring. So, just great job. I'm very impressed with two wonderful little girls of your own at this point, and you're just doing some amazing things. And so a great husband, and you just got the whole family thing sewn up. So listen, back to this realty. I am just blown away. So folks, down in New Jersey, of course, Asia's out there doing her business thing. So we're going to encourage, of course, if you want to contact Asia. Now, are you on, like, social media and all that kind of stuff for folks with your business?
Yes,
okay, well, tell folks how they can connect with you and all that good stuff.
Okay, the easy way to find me is through Instagram. If everyone is Instagram savvy, I am at Asia.NJ.Real Estate. That's on Instagram, and then my email is AsiaGood, AsiaGoode, at srnjtean.com. So that's AsiaGood,
And you can, of course, contact us at Hair Radio, and we'll put you in touch with Asia. And so just, again, real proud of you and all that you are accomplishing. And we're going to remind folks from time to time who are looking for, you know, different spaces and things of that nature to check in, check you out. So, Asia, anybody you want to shout out to before we say goodbye this morning?
No, I guess shout out to you for convincing me to come on. You know, I didn't expect an interview from this. And, you know, also the brokers that I work for, you know, Signature Realty, are located in Summit, New Jersey. So.
Yeah.
And to your incredible family for supporting you, of course.
Yes.
That
yes,
goes without saying. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, thank you, Asia, for being my guest today on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You did an awesome job.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You got it. All right, folks, keep it right here. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go this morning. Stay with us.
Listen every Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern to Vet Talk with Michael Hopkins, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, live. We're all about hair, beauty, and community. Catch the replays on...
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, folks, we are back live. You are listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. It's Friday, March 18th of 2022. Yes, I'm Carrie Hines, and let me just say this to make sure this is clear. We were just kind of running the promo for Michael Hopkins' Vet Talk radio show. So I want this to be clear because I always cut off the end, and it's important that you guys know this. Michael's show, as I mentioned, airs Tuesday morning. They're celebrating a huge, huge milestone very soon. But yes, it airs Tuesday mornings at 8:30 Eastern. His show replays over at our hairradio.com between 1 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturdays. So I wanted that to be clear. So listen, I'm turning over to a gentleman who has been with us many times right here on our wonderful Hair Radio Morning Show broadcast. And he's somebody who is a great inspiration to just about everybody. Once you hear Wayne, if you guys have not heard Wayne, you're just going to be blown away. He is a political dynamo, being the former mayor right in Irvington, New Jersey for 12 years. Now, this isn't just, by accident. As I always remind folks, greatness is not by accident. It is my wonderful, great honor to welcome back to the broadcast for the very first time, I think, this year, Wayne Smith. Good morning, Wayne. Welcome back.
Good morning. Well, good morning, Carrie. It's always a pleasure to be with you and the Hair Radio Show, and to be with your commentary and your platform of hair, beauty, and the community.
That's it. You know, and yeah. Wayne, I love that you mentioned that because that's so very correct. When I first told folks, I said, listen,
there is a way to blend all of this together. It really hadn't
been done before.
It had not been done. And I remember one of our first conversations. We got, Wayne, we got a lot to get into, so we've got you for the hour.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to love this, folks, you know. but I remember, Wayne, when we first chatted, and I was telling you, because it's really hard to believe that this platform, you know, creating a platform out of thin air, literally, just what passions that you have with the different things that you're good at doing. And I have to be honest with you, I was like, wow, this is really something. But when we first chatted, I had just started the Hair Radio Association. Do you recall this conversation, Wayne?
No doubt. And I thought it was a very important one because we talked about the nexus between the beauty industry and the community and how powerful historically the beauty industry has been for every community, but particularly communities of color, where we don't always have these private spaces where our political and cultural conversations take place, but they do take place in the beauty salon and the barbershop. In fact, it is so important that, you know, people feel it's a safe place. They talk, they can commune. It crosses classes. So you can be in the barbershop with you know, somebody who may make their income on the other side of the law with the judge.
Exactly.
Because we all go to the barbershop or we all go to the beauty salon, and we have these what I call sacred conversations because we are blunt and honest, and you know,
yes.
I mean, it's such a cultural phenomenon they had to make movies about it. And
exactly.
So, you know, so it's a great place. In fact, President Obama was the first one I saw publicly use the barbershop as an organizing tool in electoral politics. They made it a point to make sure that they went in barbershops and beauty salons to register people to vote and also to talk about the presidential campaign. And it increased voter turnout in a very significant way. But also spinning out of that, Carrie, has been now – men are now talking about prostate cancer in a barbershop. It's a safe space. Children are now looking at books. Barbers are putting books in their barbershops because kids, a lot of young people spend a significant time in the barbershop or the beauty salon on Saturdays, and they put books there. So instead of just, you know, the gossip of the day or the community news of the day, they can read a book while they're waiting to get their haircut. So it's always been, the barber and beautician has always been sort of like the griot in the community. They knew everybody. They knew what the issues were locally. So important institution. And, you know, then the business side of it is that we generate a significant amount of cash because it's one of the institutions that no matter what the recession is, no matter what the economy is, people want to look better. In fact, the worse the economy, the more people spend trying to look feel better about themselves.
Well, you need it. You need that little boost, that little certain something.
Absolutely.
And Wayne, I love what you just said. You're absolutely right. When you talk about the central focus in our community, of course, has always been the barbershops and the hair salons. And what you said, the folks out there, the listeners and the fans of the show, they've made movies about it. Well, we've had those folks right on our show.
No, absolutely.
You know, my great friend, the late Shelley Garrett, created... Well, Shelley Garrett was very dear to me in so many ways, and I'll tell you about it, Wayne. Shelley Garrett is the man who created what was called beauty shop plays. And anybody in the Northeast, you know, of a certain age, you've seen these commercials. They used to run. I'm from Philadelphia originally, so I was there until I was about 15. But I remember the television, they used to play these commercials for beauty shop shows. I was a little kid.
Oh, and that's absolutely all
I used to see running all the time, these black plays, people on stage, you know, what you guys today might liken it to is Tyler Perry.
Well, he was the forerunner. I was going to say that. He was the forerunner to Tyler.
He was.
He set the stage for Tyler. He set the stage for him, absolutely.
Well, you just hit it on the head. And Shelley Garrett, Mr. Shelley Garrett, created all of that, that they later made movies about beauty shops and the barbershops and all that. He's the one who they based ABC did and paid him to do the TV. It was a TV show with all this stuff. So Shelley folks contacted me and asked for me to write a magazine article for their 30th anniversary. They were doing a 30th anniversary of the beauty shop play.
Okay.
So I did. I wrote a magazine article for him. Shelley came on our show. Take a listen. You know, we have every we go right to the top.
Oh,
take
wow.
Oh, Shelley, I have to say, there, you know, to me, and this is, you know, from the fan side, looking, it seems to me that there would not be possibly a Tyler Perry if there hadn't been, you know, if there wasn't a Shelley Garrett. So is that just the way I'm looking at it? Or, you know, I've heard other folks say that, so I don't think I'm alone in that. But tell me what your thoughts are. I know that that you have inspired him as well, I'm sure.
Well, Tyler is from New Orleans. He was living in New Orleans. When the show came to New Orleans at the Singer Theater on Canal Street, he came and saw the show three times. Now, that was before he was, quote-unquote, Tyler Perry. You know, he was not a playwright at the time. And
he certainly wasn't Madea.
Don't know. None of that. And the theater manager, her name is Gail, told me that the same guy is coming to watch the show. And she said this, that was the third time he sat all the way in the back. And he had a clipboard and a pen with him.
Oh, that was it.
She asked him what was he doing. You know, she didn't know what he was doing. And he says, "I'm taking notes because this is what I want to do in life." And I will tell you, he has done it. He's done it well, and I'm extremely proud of him.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Wow. Is that not
something, that's powerful,
Mr. Wayne
that's
Smith?
But you know, one of the classic lines I remember from his commercials, and I always laugh. I tell the jokes.
Oh, you remember those commercials too?
Oh yeah. Listen to this. When he said, when somebody got in the chair, and the beautician said, "Make two rights, three lefts, or four rights to the," he said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Baby, that's the magic shop, because ain't nothing we could do for you in the beauty shop."
I remember that. I remember that line. Wayne, let me tell you, that is hilarious. And you know what? He is absolutely, it was so incredibly funny. I caught when he did that tour, and I wrote the article again for their 30th anniversary for the beauty shop plays. He did a tour. And so he came to Brooklyn, he and his lovely wife. I'm shouting out Dars, you know, I love you to death. She's a good friend of ours here at the broadcast. But Shelley and his wife came, and I got a chance to see the play. Because I was a little kid, so I didn't have a chance to see it then, but I saw the play here in Brooklyn, New York, and got pictures. I'll put up the picture with me and Shelley and Doris and all of that. I'll share that with you guys. But I just loved all of that stuff. And so this was where a lot of this was planted, the seed was planted. But not just Tyler Perry, who I truly believe that's where he got the idea completely. Now he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
And so
and it's interesting, the motivational point around that, what you just described, was if you ever want to do anything in life, whatever the field is, whether it's politics, business, study the master at that whatever particular time and point. Because that's what he did. He sat in the back of the theater, and everybody knows Tyler's story, that he was homeless, he did all that. But
exactly.
He studied his craft, and it wasn't always in the halls of the university or institutions of higher learning. That's important that we go and we try to do and get as many credentials as we can. But it does not deter you and stop you from pursuing your dream if you figure out a way to study the master's. And so he went to see what the master of what he wanted to do was doing at that time. And so Shelley Garrett was his forerunner, and he went there and had his clipboard and studied. And he was obviously interested in humor and comedy and the cultural and nuances of our community, how we operate, how we speak, how we make people laugh, all of that. And now he's turned that into a multi-billion dollar empire, owns probably one of the biggest, probably one of the largest of film production facilities in the country in Atlanta. So, I mean, that's what you do. You have to study the master of the craft that you want to get into and try to emulate that. And you don't start out, you can't emulate him at the top scale. You emulate him at the bottom scale, and you grow yourself into what you want to become. And so, it's not going to be without hardships, because you're going to face them. And I'm sure if Shelley would ever tell his story, he did that too. And to me, it represents, and you also have to study history, how people got there, how they rebuilt. But the old Chitlin circuit, when we were segregated community, and we weren't in the best theaters, and we catered to our own community in our own neighborhoods. And so what happens is, and the major market, because you got to find a niche that the competition doesn't always go after. So the major film and plays and production companies weren't after that basic working class African American, some would say church crowd, because there's dollars in them their hills. And so Shelley saw it, where people were not catering. We weren't going on Broadway all the time because we couldn't afford it. But there was a basic price in those neighborhood places that people could afford to go, and created work for actors and actresses and musicians and so forth. So, and that's what, and no matter what is going on in the economy, we have to do that. We have to figure out how we get a slice of the American economy, or, you know, some people at some different times it's been different things for us. It's the American dream for most, but for many times it can be a nightmare for the struggling community. But we still have to figure out how we get a niche of it and then feed ourselves and build an economy, pay our mortgage. I heard you had a great show. I was listening as I was waiting for you, with the young lady from Summit, New Jersey, which is a very upscale community. I was having dinner there last night with my wife and my godchild, her husband. But it's a it's a very upscale community, and for her to be practicing real estate there, she's got to be phenomenal lady. My point is, we find those niches. We find all those niches. So we've got to build an economy despite the Ukrainian war, despite inflation, despite all these things. Whatever we're going through, we still have to build and grow and try to figure out how we maneuver in this economy. And so that's always the challenge. And so if we look at the time surrounding Shelley Garrett, the economy was not at the best of times when he was doing those plays.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he went on to work with, if you guys, I'm going to throw out some names because I have to pay a little tribute to him. He really did a lot for our community. He discovered, if you guys remember the TV show Martin, with
Martin Lawrence, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Martin Lawrence, yeah.
Yeah, y'all can recall Martin Payne, his character.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, his character
not,
was Martin Payne.
That's right, you're good. Martin, TV show also starred Tommy Ford.
That's the tall, bald fella.
He passed away. Mm-hmm. Funny guy. Well, he was Shelley would find all these people and put them into his plays. He also discovered a young Kim Wigley. I just turned on TV the other day. Kim was filling in for Wendy Williams, and Kim she was also one of his discoveries in his plays. Wendy Raquel Robinson, who went on to play in so many TV shows. But the one that I remember, she was in the Steve Harvey Show as the principal.
Steve Harvey
she also played
and the Game.
Yes, the Game. That's right. She's a big star in the TV, which they just brought back. So
right, right. And she's
I have
playing
to tell
in that.
You, you know, we have connections to everybody. I normally play the 6 degrees of separation game with folks because we've connected with so many people that I typically can, if you name anybody, I usually can tell you a connection, like make it all the way through to that person within less than 6 people. I usually can do it in 2 or 3 and sometimes 1. So it's really, really cool. So we'll do that. We'll try to get that on before we end out today. But I tell you, Wayne, I'm always very impressed, and like Shelley and all those folks out there that he inspired, I can say the same for you.
Well,
this is true. This is nothing, and I tell Wade, this is nothing you have not heard. Wayne Smith, you are truly a person who have led the charge on helping folks, and, you know, I want to talk a little bit about that. You mentioned about Shelley inspiring folks and where he got all that stuff and Tyler and all of those folks. But who inspired you? You know,
oh, God.
So
there are always people who are, you know, close that you watch and you admire. And so in my neighborhood, it was always local people who were doing business. I worked for some African-American business people when I was a very young kid. So it always put in my mind that we could be economically independent. And so whether it was Miss Stewart, who was the Sylvia of Newark, and my mother was a cook, watching those kind of people build real businesses. And then, of course, you have those near and far political figures who make a statement by what they do. Muhammad Ali, who took a stand and at a time when I was a young kid, and you watch that. Not only was he a charismatic, dynamic boxer, but he also took a political stand about the rights of our people, and it was very articulate. So those people, you kind of, in the 60s, you kind of like, wow, this is the like I'd like to be. And then you had local political figures like Ken Gibson, who was the first African-American man in the city of New York.
Wow, I haven't heard that name in 30
years. So Ken, you know, set a tone that somebody who looked like you and I could run a city.
That's right.
You know, and so you, and as a very young kid, I worked in his little civic association as a volunteer. So those little nuggets always help you. And then, you know, early in life, I was what they call, I learned a very important phrase, readers are leaders. Readers are leaders.
I've never heard that before. Let me write that one down.
Readers are leaders. And so I was a prolific reader of anything I had an interest in, whether it was basketball, whether it was government. I just read. And so those things, you know, and my father was a reader. So those things give you the inspiration. And so one of the early books that I read as a very young man was Napoleon Hill's book called Think and Grow Rich. And So one of the most important things in the book, people have to be careful with it because it reminds you of it can be used for good and it can be used for evil. But it says whatever the man of mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. And that's a very powerful statement. Yeah, that's a very powerful statement. And you kind of laid it out early when you talked about, you know, people, you know, like Shelley Garrett and Tyler Perry. They had to have that power of belief that they could achieve. And they put their minds to some things that everybody else was not putting their mind to. And so, you know, if you really want something, if you can conceive it and believe it, you can achieve it. But and so, you know, so after the belief and the thought process, you got to go to work. And it may be some arduous work. It may mean going through your trials and tribulations. But whatever that is, you can do it. So a madman like Putin would use it for evil. He wants to recreate the Soviet Union, so he attacks Ukraine and trying to lay the framework for getting that old Soviet Union, that he would threaten the world's peace and safety. But he's hell bent on his thought process of moving forward, because I thought he was, kind of rational. He was manipulative, but he's been doing this for a long time, and so, we have to have our plans applied. So as you watch all this stuff on TV, it's horrific to see anyone, the Ukrainians, they're trying to survive. It's awful. So we have to remind, we have to defend democracy, or we're going to have a dictatorship even here in America. We almost had somebody try to create a dictatorship. But we have to watch the global scene.
Exactly.
We have to watch the global scene and remind people of what could potentially even happen in our own community. So all these issues around voter suppression and getting involved in the American democracy, and even having a voice in and educating ourselves around foreign policy, becomes important, because push our kids to study and research and learn, because we have to have not only a local view of everything, but we have to have a global view, because now we really realize, some people, that what happens in the world affects our economy, whether or not we're going to have inflationary forces, whether or not our gas prices are going to go up. And then we have to have counter strategies to do that. So maybe we walk more, maybe we catch public transportation more. Whatever it is that we have to adjust, we have to have the appropriate strategies and so forth to combat whatever's going on in the world, so that we can have peace in our own house, in our own neighborhood, in our own communities, because we are facing a world that can unravel on us at any moment. But that's not new for us. That's not new for us.
I've got to tell folks, this is the amazing Wayne Smith, who was the mayor out in Irvington, New Jersey for 12 years, a political force, who's now in the wonderful world of business. We're going to talk about that. But I love what you said. You've taken a big thing that we see on television. You turn on the news in the morning and you're just sitting there, the way that they scared the bejesus out of you about what's happening with those images and the commentary. It's just, it can be a bit much. So that's kind of where we are with Hair Radio. We're like, well, what should our takeaway be? What should we kind of pay attention to? And I like how you tied it all in to what each of us can do to kind of, process this correctly. And so I'm I appreciate that. And remember the strategies. I love that. Countering the strategy, counter strategies for,
Absolutely. For our survival. First of all, absolutely. It's always, you got to always survive so you can get to better days. So, economy's tightening, inflationary forces are out there, all those things are in front of us, but you still keep your eyes on your personal prize, the things that, whether it's through education, whether it's through business, whatever, keep focused on that, but pay attention, because you're going to see it affect your business, and so you got to have a strategy to counteract what's going on in the world, but it's always keep your eye on what you're attempting to do, and then have an impact, because, I think this is a time where you could, your congressperson, you have an opinion. You should let your people know about it. You pay them to represent you. One of the things that we sometimes people fail to take into account totally is that we live in what they call a representative democracy. So that's why so much money is spent on elections, because people want to represent you. They're supposed to want to represent you. Now, sometimes they want to represent whoever gives those campaign contributions, but that's important too.
Exactly.
There are more people, if they would exercise that precious franchise to vote, that could affect the outcome. So if more and more people decided to vote and vote in every election, whether it's the school board, whether it's the city council, the mayor's race, the state representatives, the congressional races. So right now, you know, Biden is trying to navigate what's going on internationally. But Congress is also exercising its voice, you see, and around this issue of war, at least on some levels, there's some degree of sanity between Republicans and Democrats trying to see how they help the Ukrainians. But, you know, at the same time, if the more and more they hear about us on every kind of issue that impacts our lives. And so sometimes we're busy building our own individual dreams that we don't have time. And that's where associations become important. The Hair
exactly.
Radio Association. Yeah.
Exactly.
All those things
and
become
Wayne,
important.
And, Wayne, I want to talk
so,
about that. I want to talk about the Hair Radio Association. Again, folks, we're live this morning. It's Friday, March 18th of 2020, so about 8:39 Eastern time. And the folks are going to kill me because I did not give them their weather highs and lows that I'll take a moment to do in just a second or two. But, Wayne, I have to say about the Hair Radio Association, and you guys heard me a little earlier, we're talking again with Wayne Smith, the former mayor out in Irvington, New Jersey for 12 years, who is a business leader today. But, Wayne, I remember the association, when I chatted with you way back when, we didn't have any members or maybe five.
Right.
And we're pushing 1,000 at this point. And
I'm
so moved.
Yeah, that's a powerful force. Yeah, wow.
Yes, a powerful force. And you have always been the very first person to help us to cheer this and get this, share this and get this thing out there. So I'm happy about that. Wayne, I want to take a moment. I'm going to take a little break, go to the weather. I'll do a commercial. We come back. We're going to do a quick weather update for highs and lows around. And then I want to talk about what you are doing as well. I want folks to know that we have a big announcement for your about your career, Wayne Smith. So they think they've heard it all. They haven't heard it all just yet. So we'll take a little break. I'll come back with these weather cities, highs and lows, selected cities. What I love about this, Wayne, is that they are selected cities that are all over the country. We have a big listening audience. We have folks from all parts of America, overseas. We have folks out in, you know, all kinds of places, and especially on the international scene. So we not only we give selected cities here, but we also give a few of the international locations and shouting out our amazing fans worldwide. So we'll come back with all of that wonderful good stuff. We'll give you a couple minutes to catch your breath and get some water. And we'll be right back with Wayne Smith and some big news that we'll share. So we'll talk about all that. Stay with us, folks. Stay with us. We've got a lot more to get to. Stay with us.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Favorite guest. I've been asked who my favorite guest is, or who were some of the interviews that really kind of stick out with you, or some kind of variation thereof.
I'm Carrie Hines, and I have to say, in honor of looking at our big milestone of the Hair Radio Morning Show, it's given me some time to reflect, and I wanted to share some of these reflections with you guys, the fans of the broadcast. Let me say, thinking about guests, it gives me that doing the Hair Radio Morning Show is a great joy because I get to live out, you know, meeting my heroes, growing up and listening to amazing singers, watching amazing television actors and movie stars, and then getting an opportunity to literally talk to them, and they know my name. It's been extraordinary. And so to think, some of the most influential artists of our time, we've had an opportunity to welcome right here to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Folks like, of course, the legendary multi-Grammy award-winning We Are the World singer, Miss Dionne Warwick, who worked, of course, on that project with Lionel Richie, Michael Jackson, Tina Turner, Cyndi Lauper, Diana Ross. The list just goes on and on and on. And so to have this amazing artist, Miss Warwick, to even know who I am, let alone to join me live on the Hair Radio Morning Show for a special interview, was quite remarkable. And now, I had already interviewed Dionne's sister Dee Dee, who had passed away several years back, and I had interviewed Dee Dee twice. And Dee Dee's voice to me, I never will forget her voice. It sounded so much like Dionne's voice. So this was great. When I had a chance to talk to Dionne prior to me conducting the interview, I remember I had a chance to catch Ms. Warwick's ear, and I said, you know, I interviewed your sister Dee Dee, not once, but twice. And it was always one of my favorite interviews, just the most beautiful voice. And so, you know, they had a big group, the Drinker Sisters and all of that. And so, great thing. So when I'm asked about my favorite guest, Dionne Warwick has to be way up high.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies. And we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge. And tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
All right, folks, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. That was Maggie Anderson, and I accept that challenge, Maggie. Listen, I want to go back to our special live guest, Wayne Smith. Wayne, thank you so much for being with us. Former mayor out in Irvington, New Jersey, for 12 years, business leader today. Good morning again. Welcome. Welcome,
good
welcome.
Good morning.
Don't you just
good
love
morning.
All of those? I love all the pieces and all of these wonderful little tidbits that we have. You know, it
oh,
just
yeah.
reminded It just reminded me, Wayne, earlier I had, you know, I'm online and chat with everybody as we're on the air. And I was saying to one of our wonderful colleagues that what's amazing about the Hair Radio Morning Show is that you learn something that nobody else really knows about people that everybody know. Right here on our show, we find those little grooves and we just dig on in. And we bring it to you. We really do in our own fashion that's quite unique and different. So I'm very grateful. And that kind of leads me on to your big news. And I'm super excited to talk about, which I cannot wait. But first, remember those highs and lows. Let me just spell it on out. It'll be real quick, folks. I'm only going to give you the high and low in these selected cities that's sponsored in part by our partners, our legacy advertisers like FixYourFeet.com, as well as Rugged Evolution Beard Care, and our entire promotions family. Out in Nashville, the high is 70, low of 51. Boston, 66.45. Houston, 72.50 is the split. St. Louis, Missouri, 60.40. Chicago, Illinois, 43.39. Indianapolis, Indiana, 59.49. Oklahoma City, 56.34. Out in Dallas, 64.40. Trenton, 73.51. Oakland, California, 60.47. We've got a few international cities. Folks out in places like Canada, we're shouting you guys out this morning to a slim fit split, I should say, 49.35. My favorite place out in Madrid, Spain, 60.46. Love visiting over there. And Lagos, Nigeria, it's 92.82. Wayne, so that's just a few spots I had to get on in there this morning. Now it's time for the big news, Wayne Smith. So, Wayne, what are you working on today? What are you working on today?
I'm
let folks know.
Yeah, so you listen, so my consulting firm continues to grow. I am working on a very exciting project in Newark, New Jersey, working with a client who's establishing an assisted living facility in the town. So we're lining up his financing, his management team. In fact, I've got an early morning meeting. So I was delighted to make sure I got up and did your show this morning because I got an early
thank
morning
you.
Meeting.
Thank you for that.
With them. With them. And then just as a personal, my wife has opened up and she's put me to work in helping her do that, her own little showroom right in Irvington, New Jersey. She has an accessory showroom, very lovely.
What's her first name again for everybody?
Tanya Green. And she has Dazzling in Style. So she opened up her first showroom at 50 Union Avenue, Irvington, New Jersey. It's right in Irvington, the suite 501B. She's open from 12 to 4 every day. I think it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Yeah, and if you want some beautiful accessories, some beautiful accessories, earrings, bracelets, necklaces.
Wait, when are you going to bring her to our show? We want you both on one of these days soon. You know, which I guess is
we'll schedule it
news.
With her. We'll schedule it with her. So when she's available, she will definitely get her up one morning and get her on the show to talk about what she's doing. But yeah, so that's an exciting
Absolutely.
Project that I've been engaged in over the last. She had a grand opening last weekend, did really well. So things are going well. It's a small showroom.
She can't have a better consultant than Wayne Smith. So
I've got a ton of.
Ask her becoming a mayor or a president or who knows what. I mean, I can't imagine having access to somebody like Wayne 24/7. So we just wish her well. She's a beautiful lady. She's a beautiful lady. Very lovely lady. Yes.
Yeah. I got a new client with a solar bench for advertisers we're working with municipalities and others to place them in different places. And people can sponsor these beautiful benches and the companies can advertise on them. Very nice, but they also save solar energy. So that project is pretty exciting.
Well,
so we got a bunch of stuff going on all the time.
I was about to say, you got one more big project that's going on that's going to happen very soon. And here is that big news all about Wayne Smith, who you can single-handedly handle a brand-new broadcast. And I'm so honored
we're gonna work with
to
you
let
on.
Folks.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's going to be We'll be working that out with Carrie as we speak. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. We're bringing you some folks know out there, and I guess it's kind of getting out there a little bit, Upscale Magazine. They've been around for 34 years. And
Great magazine.
Yeah, great magazine. They're part of the Bronner Brothers family, which is the longest-running, biggest black show in Atlanta, usually in Atlanta, but they're doing a big thing in August of 2022 in Miami. So Upscale Magazine is what they give out to all the people come to the event. Plus, Upscale is sold on the newsstands from coast to coast.
It's a great magazine. I call it the Upscale Ebony.
Guess what? I like that. But I'll tell you, Upscale Magazine, you're right. And it also, Essence Magazine and Upscale Magazine are the last two that are targeted towards the black community that are still sold on the newsstand. So you could still buy a paper magazine for, Upscale
out there
on the newsstand around the country.
Absolutely.
And I, Gary Hines, you'll be able to find my brand new column included. I'm going to be writing for Upscale as well.
Oh, great.
And
congratulations.
I'm creating their 24-hour, 7-day a week radio network for Upscale Magazine.
Right.
And you will be one of our lead-off broadcasts. So I'm hoping you'll do a wonderful morning show to engage the listeners in that indomitable style that you have, Wayne Smith,
I'm looking forward to that. Absolutely.
Oh, listen, I would like for you and your lovely wife to do something together in the mornings. I think it would be phenomenal. You both are incredibly great, talkers. You know everything, and you're great people.
We'll work on that. We'll definitely work on that.
Okay, all right. Wayne is like, we don't have to talk all that out, Carrie Hines. Listen, Wayne, we appreciate you here. I know you know that. You know, Wayne
absolutely.
Is,
likewise.
You know, I've talked about, we let off this hour talking about inspiration. And, I think I even talked about favorite guests while we were on a little break earlier. And I have to say, you check all those boxes for us here. You've been a great inspiration. Yes, well, for me as well. So I thank you for that. I thank you. And, you know what, I can't say anything better than that. You're just awesome. And we will keep the folks, connected and tuned into your next move right here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. So continue to tune into our broadcast, folks, for the latest on what Wayne is doing. And we'll make some links and some and keep you informed. Now, Wayne, before we go, I just want to remind all of our listeners on this Friday morning, we're about to close out here. But listen, guys, here's the deal. We'll be back live, the next live broadcast of our three-hour Hair Radio Morning Show will happen on Tuesday, the 22nd of March is our next live broadcast. It'll be our show number 688 on Tuesday, March 22nd is our next live broadcast. You'll also catch Michael Hopkins and Vet Talk at the end of that show on Tuesday. That's our next live broadcast. Now, from here on out until Tuesday, please visit our streaming network. We have hairradio.com streaming network that runs all day, 24 hours a day, at www.hairadio.com. There's never two R's in here, just one R, hairadio.com. And we'll be playing all this weekend, all over. New stuff is in there, all kinds of updates. And today you'll catch today's show playing back at noon and 3 o'clock over at that network. And, again, you can become a member. Wayne Smith, you're awesome.
All righty. Likewise, my friend.
All right. You get to that meeting now, okay?
Yeah.
We'll chat a little later.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right, Wayne Smith. Thank you, sir. All right. Here's our outro.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode.